Now, religious spirits don't overtake people overnight or in a minute. Okay, first they start talking to you. They start giving you thoughts or whatever, feelings or whatever, which is an exact counterfeit of what the Holy Spirit does. And if you don't recognize what's happening, you end up listening to them, and you come under their influence to a certain degree. You know, and that might go on for a few weeks or a few months. And if you never realize what's going on, eventually they're going to start gaining a stronger and stronger hold on your mind and on your Christian experience. And the more you obey those spirits, thinking you're obeying the Holy Spirit, the stronger they become. And eventually, if nothing is done to stop them or break free from them, they become your whole Christian experience. They can become your whole Christian experience. And once a person reaches that point, it's very hard to help them get free because they have no idea which voice is the voice of religious demons and which voice is the voice of the Holy Spirit. They have no idea which experience is coming from religious spirits and which experience is coming from the Holy Spirit. And they end up being so confused that demons can make them believe anything. One of the things these religious spirits like to do in the lives of people who have gotten to this point where they become their whole experience is they like to play good cop, bad cop. Those demons will torment a person in some way, mentally, physically, emotionally, something, and then they remove the torment and comfort them. Same demon. The same demon that torments them removes the torment and comforts them. And the person ends up thinking that it was a demon who was tormenting him, but it was God who helped him get free. And all the while it was demons playing good cop, bad cop. They'll give a person a thought. When that person acts on it, they'll work in such a way as to confirm what that person does. So he thinks he's being led by the Holy Spirit. He thinks God is showing him that through that confirmation that he was following God's will. They play all kinds of mind games with people when they get to the point where people can no longer tell the difference between which voice is leading and guiding them. It's very serious. Well, I'll give you an example of how they do this kind of thing to people. I could give you personal examples, but I'm going to give you a public example. The other week, I ran across an article by a woman who says she was delivered from deliverance ministry. The article was posted on a website that's run by a Bible teacher who in one breath gives lip service to the reality of demons in a Christian's life, while the next breath mocking all deliverance ministries and scoffing at the very idea that people's problems could be rooted in demonic bondage. And he frequently posts anti-deliverance articles like this one. The woman's name is Sheila Restoreau. And her testimony is called My Deliverance from Deliverance Ministry. My Deliverance from Deliverance Ministry, okay? She starts out by saying that she loves the Lord with all the passion that is in her and that she ran after every move of God. After she got saved, she ran after every move of God that she perceived was of God. Eventually, she discovered the books that were written by Rebecca Brown, and she got fascinated with Rebecca Brown's teaching on deliverance. And she says she learned to name the demons and could recognize their hierarchy and all that, and she was delighted to find out that she had power over these demons. And this is what she says in her testimony. She says, during that time, I was also ministering to a friend who was a former Wiccan. She already had a high-ranking evil spirit assigned to her by Satan. She was very gifted in seeing things in the spirit realm, but that gift was coming from Satan. I was able to share with her the love of Jesus, and she accepted him and became a Christian. When I introduced her to the book by Rebecca Brown, she said she was not able to sleep. She had a fever, and she told me that most of the things mentioned in that book are techniques she used when she was still practicing witchcraft. That conversation with my friend led me into examining my own life. I looked like a powerful Christian on the outside, but I was very miserable. I saw demons everywhere. I knew they were following me. I saw demons in people. That's why I never learned to truly love them. If something bad happened to me, my first word would be, Satan did it. I forgot about the sovereignty of God, who is the King of glory, and the way he would sometimes allow sufferings and trials to purify me. It's true you become what you behold. When you focus on something and meditate on it, putting a lot of time and faith into it, it's already a form of worship. During that time, I was very harsh on everyone, some unseen forces, and it wasn't easy. One day I got tired and just collapsed in the arms of my Lord. I said, Yeshua, I'm living in fear. My life is a mess. Where are you? Then I heard a soft whisper and answer from him. And this is what he said. He says, daughter, I love you so much I gave my very life for you. Do you think I would leave you helpless, tormented and harassed by the imaginary evil forces that you are battling by your own power? I have already prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Your only job is to worship me and live a life pleasing in my sight. Then those demons will have no power over you. I am he who is willing and able to protect you. Then she goes on to say, afterwards, I felt his loving arms around me. I cried myself to sleep that day. I woke up feeling refreshed and strong in the Lord the next day. The demons stopped tormenting me when I learned how to really praise and worship my Jesus. Oh, when we worship Him, His presence descends, and in His presence no demons can stand. We only need to desire Him above all, and He will take care of the rest. What a lovely and awesome God we serve. Let us worship Him every day. And she goes on to say, yes, Jesus Christ, You are my deliverer, my knight in shining armor, the rock in which I stand, my superhero, the love of my life, my everything. When the enemy comes to attack me, I will no longer fight the right battle in the wrong field as he would like me to do. I do have a choice whether I believe the press release of Satan, that he is strong and powerful and could destroy me, or just gaze in the eyes of the King, whose love for me is more than life itself, who defeated the devil 2,000 years ago, disarming them of their power when he went to the cross. My day of deliverance came when I became so focused on the King, I lavished him with my love and my adoration. I learned that I could win the heart of the King. My strength is not in fighting my enemies. I love the King, and that is my strength. If, from the posture of love, I explain my plight and describe the plot of the enemy, my assault will be more powerful. She says, if you learn to worship while the enemy sits across from you at the table, if you can pay such close attention to the King that you forget about the enemy staring you in the face, then you win. The battle is virtually over when the King of Glory arrives on the scene. I love you, Jesus, okay? So it's very clear that woman was involved in a false deliverance ministry. And I know that Rebecca Brown is a witch, and she practices witchcraft under the guise of deliverance. And by her own testimony, Miss Restoro was harsh on everyone and she could not love people. She was miserable. She saw demons everywhere she went, including in people. She was living in fear, and she was being tormented by demons, and her life was a mess. All right, that's a clear sign that the person's involved with religious spirits. Well, now she's been delivered. The demons no longer torment her. The only problem is, the Jesus who spoke to her was not the real Jesus. Listen to what her Jesus told her. First of all, he said, do you think I would leave you helpless, tormented, and harassed by the imaginary evil forces you are battling by your own power? That Miss Rostero was battling evil forces in her own power, that's no doubt true. But is it true that those evil forces she was battling in her own power are imaginary? Would the real Jesus tell this poor woman that Satan's power and demon spirits are imaginary? I don't think so. This Jesus also told her, he said, your only job is to worship me and live a life pleasing in my sight. Then those demons will have no power over you. Does that sound like something the real Jesus would say to a person who has been deeply involved in Christian witchcraft? Is that what the New Testament teaches? Well, not unless watching and battling rooted in the phrase, live a life that is pleasing to him. But unfortunately, when you read the rest of Miss Restoro's testimony, she makes it clear that watching and battling the enemy is not included in that phrase, you know, life living and pleasing to the Lord. She says, when we worship him, his presence descends, and his presence no demons can stand. We only need to desire him above all, and he will take care of the rest. Oh, excuse me. Even her own testimony, that's not what her Jesus told her. He said if she worshiped him and lived the life that was pleasing to him, the demons would have no power. She's saying all we have to do is desire him above all, and he'll take care of the rest. That's two different things. Unless, I guess, desiring him above all is the definition in her mind of living the life that is pleasing to him. That's not what he said. Anyway, she says again that she has a choice whether or not to believe the press release of Satan, which is that he is strong and powerful and could destroy her. Or she can choose to just gaze into the eyes of the King who defeated Satan 2,000 years ago, disarming them of their power and all that. Okay. In other words, she no longer believes Satan can destroy her. She no longer believes a dragon is strong enough to destroy her, powerful. And I say again, would the real Jesus tell this woman the enemy is no longer powerful, can't possibly destroy her? I don't think so. I think her Jesus is not the real Jesus. And if that was the real Jesus who told her that, then somebody needs to inform the Apostle James that his view of Satan needs to be corrected. Because he said, submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. James 4:7. If Brother James wasn't deceived, then I don't think just gazing into the eyes of the King when you're being attacked by the enemy is going to cut it. Not in the real world. Maybe it will in this woman's world, but not in the real world, right? And how's this for sound battle advice? She says, if you can pay such close attention to the King that you forget about the enemy staring you in the face, then you win. Oh, I see. I'm sorry. We can defeat Satan simply by ignoring him. Is that it? Boy, I wish someone had told me that 15 years ago. The fact is, Miss Restoro is still listening to the same religious demons that she was before she supposedly got delivered. Those spirits are playing her for a fool. They're playing good cop, bad cop in her life. The same demons who tormented her and frightened her and made her life a confused mess are now comforting her, giving her a false sense of security, got her life straightened out, and everything else. She's now in love with a Jesus who's telling her things that are totally unscriptural and is putting her in a state of complete unreality when it comes to the power of the enemy. It's very sad. Of course, the guy who posted that article has no idea that this woman has not really been delivered, because he's deceived as well. His mockery of all deliverance ministries and his double talk regarding the reality of demons keeps him from receiving true discernment in this whole area. He can't help anybody. He's as lost as they are when it comes to these demons. Now, I'd like to share another testimony with you from another sister who is also involved with religious spirits. And she's being delivered by the real Jesus. Okay, now I'm not going to share her name with you because I don't think she wants her name told. But I'm going to tell you this story is true. I know it's true. Because I had a small part in helping her get free. And last week she emailed me to thank me. I want you to see if you can tell the difference between this sister's testimony and the testimony of Miss Restoro. Alright? This sister wrote me an email. This is what it says. She said, "Dear Dan, I don't know how to begin this email. I do want to start out, though, by thanking you for your help about a year ago. My husband wrote to you desperately asking you for help. I had gotten into real spiritual trouble. We started out in such and such person's pal talk room, and I tried to join their fellowship, and it was a desperate cry for help, but it only led to confusion. That was where we came to know about you. We liked what you had to say, so my husband started reading your website. I did also, and knew that what you were saying was truth about deception and how subtle it can be, and what I read witnessed to my spirit. We were called out of the church back in 1985. We were in a non-denominational Pentecostal church, but didn't really understand and had no access to anyone who taught the wilderness walk. We got into the world some, but still loved God and always hoped for something more. Then in 1996, we went back to an Assembly of God church because the lady where my husband worked told him the pastor had thrown away his notes and he was preaching more simply. People seemed to be truly repenting and seeking God. Then the pastor got a growth on his voice box, so he went down to Pensacola to Brownsville Church and was miraculously healed. That began more and more ushering in of that movement. We went to Brownsville eventually and to Toronto. All the while, I thought I was avoiding the counterfeit, rejecting the obvious errors, and keeping myself free from it. But in actuality, I was in it more than I thought. I got into the teaching of generational curses early in my walk with the Lord. I read Pigs in the Parlor and identified with the spirit of rejection and really believed I needed deliverance from it. I won't go into all that, but eventually I began to see how I had been wrong and that many of the things were the need to die to the flesh. After we went back to the church, I got caught up in it again through Joyce Meyer's teachings. This is a big thing going around in Christendom and probably still is. I believed God was delivering me and thought I could help others. I came upon a website where this person was speaking of such things and how he was delivered from his generationalism. Never heard that word before, but it must be generational curses. She says, "I really had empathy for him. One thing led to another, and I wanted free, so I asked him to pray for me. Later, I learned that this person was a wizard and had a spirit guide as a child. I found myself in a trap, and I desperately wanted free. I don't even know how it happened. Never in my life would I want to be near anything like that. I was so ashamed, and I felt like I denied the Lord, my faithful friend. I felt like I'd been spiritually raped. It was during 2001, during 9/11, that God really opened our eyes to the truth. We went to a different Assembly of God church, and the pastor said, quote, 'This was not the judgment of God, and no one from this church had better say that it was.'" That's 9/11, she's talking about. "Well, we believed it was the judgment of God. And on the way home, we were so grieved. God began to open our eyes to the spiritual blindness in the church. Soon we left the church and canceled our membership. As God showed me, I repented of anything that was not of him. We've had a lot of ups and downs in our lives, but have always had a sincere desire to know God and live for him. I love God, my Heavenly Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart, and have never thought I would go through what I've gone through. But one thing is for certain, is because he loves me and is his grace and mercy in bringing me out of deception, and for that I am so grateful and giving praise. Well, after my husband wrote to you, I don't remember exactly, but I ended up going to a Christian psychologist, which led to even greater attacks, and I ended up in a mental health facility for 12 days. Thanks be to God, my husband was so fraught with anguish over my condition, it drove him to fasting and prayer, which set me free. Jesus brought me out of that horrible place. Praise his holy name. God has been so faithful to show me the way and help me through it all. And I have been reading your books, Restoring the Soul, Overcoming the Dragon, and The Order of Melchizedek, and listening to your audios. Actually, we've been listening to your audios all along and doing what the Holy Spirit led me to do. I was overcoming in my thought life. Again, God is ever faithful to help me and show me and teach me. I still have thoughts that seem to be in my subconscious that talk to me and threaten me. I am diligently, to the best of my ability, casting down those thoughts and imaginations and taking every one thought captive. I believe God what he says, these are mighty weapons of God to the pulling down, the overthrow, and destruction of strongholds. And I know he is renewing my mind and helping me develop spiritual iron. It was thoughts such as these that made me believe other people were controlling me through my mind, and I thought so-and-so, somebody she mentions, were using witchcraft on me. But now I know where they're coming from, she means Satan, and I don't accept his lies, deceptions, and suggestions. I have to put them down, or I find myself under attack. My husband has been such great help and praise for the healing of my mind every day. Of course, I do also. I greatly respect and love my husband. He loves God. I know it's God's will that I be totally free, and I continue to fight the good fight of faith and overcome daily. I want to press on and press into God more and more. I know what a dark hour we are in, and I know the Lord is preparing us and training us, and I want to be faithful to my calling. We are both thanking the Lord for your healing, and we were with you in prayer through it all. I just wanted you to know that we love and appreciate your faithfulness to God in teaching the truth. Please keep warning of the dangers out there. God help those who need freedom and deliverance. Thank you for taking the time to read this. I want to stay free, and I'm grateful to you. So many times what I heard or read from you encouraged me or helped me in some way. I would appreciate your prayers. May God richly bless you and your wife, your mother, Kim, and all the others I have heard speak on your audios. It's so encouraging to hear the testimonies of other believers out there who want to go on to perfection in Christ Jesus, your sister in Christ, such and such. You see, this sister didn't go from one type of religious delusion to another kind of religious delusion. She didn't trade one set of demons for another set of demons, or a false Jesus for another equally false Jesus. You can tell that she's fought to get free, and she's fighting to stay free. And that's the way it is when you get involved with these religious demons. Jesus doesn't just come along one day and give you a comforting word and then tell you not to worry about Satan's power anymore, because he's going to take care of it all. He doesn't come along and say, oh, just love me above all else and I'll take care of the rest. No, 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 no. Once religious spirits have become entwined in a person's life, they have to fight to get free, and they have to fight to stay free, because those spirits don't want to let you go. They're determined to get back in your life. They're determined to get you back under their power and under their dominion, and you have to fight to remain free. And that's what this woman's doing. And I can tell you that this woman is walking in true deliverance, and the other woman is walking in false deliverance. The night cometh when no man can work, people. The spiritual night is coming when everywhere you turn, you're going to find religious spirits are there polluting and contaminating everything and everyone. So work while there's still light, my brethren. Don't waste the time God's given you. Make sure you finish the work God's ordained for you in the time that you have. Okay? That's all for tonight. If anybody has anything to share or add or ask, feel free. Take the mic, step up. Okay, nobody has anything. How about you, Joey? Mom? Anybody else? Anything? Joey says, I don't know if it fits. Okay, go ahead.
Well, thank you, Dan. Appreciate it. That was a sobering message. Hey, everyone. Good to see you all in the room tonight. I just have something very simple to share. You know, Dan has been talking about dealing with spirits and for a couple of years now, and you know, I believe they're pretty much bottom line messages, if so to speak, about maintaining free and pure. And as I was listening to his message in the background, I was kind of reminded of a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 and 3. It says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ.
But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And, you know, I think these messages that Brother Dan has been sharing, you know, I don't really know how to explain it, but I'll just speak from my heart that I think that it's kind of like the heart of God's mouth, you know, his mind and his mouth speaking a message to purify those who have ears to hear and eyes to see for the sake of being, you know, pure before the Lord Jesus Christ, to be one with him, to be prepared for him, to be married to Christ. And so these are very, very much powerful, deep, very much meat type of messages that are pretty much bottom line in these last days, as he spoke about being in a time that's so dark like never ever before. So anyway, this is kind of like a little testimony. There's a specific point that I wanted to kind of share that was kind of being emphasized to me this past week, which is about the issue of promptly addressing these spirits as the Lord shows them to us, dealing with them by the Holy Spirit, of course. And we all know that just as an infection from an injury, external or internal, if it's not addressed properly, it will only cause more damage to the body, or especially the ones that are internal in nature, can actually be very dangerous and fatally destructive. As I was cleaning and scrubbing the fryers at McDonald's just recently, dealing and fighting with some heavy grease, which can be a pretty good amount of work, depending on how you want to maintain its cleanliness. But anyways, I spotted one of the hard-to-reach parts of the equipment forming a noticeable amount of grease and food material. I hastily told myself, without even thinking, I said, I need to overcome that before it overcomes me. I know it kind of sounds pretty silly, but that statement just made me think about the idea that it is also true in the spirit that if we do not fight to overcome the spirits that God shows us to address in our lives, of course not to mention spirits that God may not show us because of our lack of seriousness and seeking after his truth, his ways and his life, lack of seeking his holiness and lack of true separation from all that defiles, whether demons that God shows us or not, it will most likely guarantee the spread of their damage in our walk from one degree to another, and will end up being devoured by them sooner or later if they are not dealt with accordingly. There are small crevices and hard to reach places in our lives that demons are probably without disturbance being allowed to traffic through secret sins, hidden roots of bitterness, jealousy or envy or whatever works of the flesh we are exercising, etc. And little do we know it, it is forming and developing into something that can actually overcome us if we don't address it as the Lord shows us by the Holy Spirit. I was looking at some annual death statistics about hospital patients due to blood infections and pneumonia. The number seems very, very staggering. You can check out the numbers of dead people in the United States hospitals for yourself online if you want to, but anyways, one thing about infections that are internal is that it can form without notice until it's fatally too late. More than ever before, our enemy is a very subtle and very tricky devourer of our souls that is constantly planting seeds of seductions in our minds and hearts through thoughts and desires, trying to cause an internal infection in our souls to bring about our spiritual fatality. Sadly, in the progressively darkening days we're living in, so many, even in the body of Christ, has been fatally taken out by the enemy because they have allowed internal infections of deceptions from religious and antichrist demons in their hearts and minds, through selfish and fleshly agendas, through doctrines of devils, through fellowships with religious man-made traditions and false forms of godliness, false hopes and false happiness, through the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, lusting after their own lives, instead of losing it to find the life of Jesus. I implied earlier that the cleanliness that could result in cleaning those fryers at McDonald's were dependent on how much work I put into it. How true that is, especially how those defilement of grease gunk appearing from so many different directions tries to spread rapidly hour by hour and day by day. Again, it seems pretty simple and silly, but because we're facing such a devouring enemy who never sleeps while we slumber in our life of cruise ships and vacations, neglecting our watch, it will involve work and labor in our part to uproot and to pull down every influences of spirits in every aspect of our lives, externally and especially internally, within our hearts and minds, where most of the battle begins and where we determine our defeat or our victory in order to win the race to the very end. I put a scripture here. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Hebrews 12:14-15. So that's it, I guess. That's all I have. Good night, guys.
Very good. Thank you. Good word, brother. Good word.
Amen.
Sister Irma, go ahead.
Very good testimony. I enjoyed that, Joey. And I don't have my thoughts all together here, but bear with me. I'm just going to bring out one thing that amazed me when I was reading your book on Babylon Rising, Part 6, Dan. You were talking about the four beasts in the last kingdom of this age and the ten horns that are leaders of this kingdom. For Daniel said the horn, parentheses, that had eyes and a mouth speaking great things will make war on the saints, prevail against them until God comes on the scene personally to put a stop to it, at which point the kingdom of God is given to the saints. With this additional information, we can see that the first beast in the book of Revelation is one, powerful spirit that ascends from the bottomless pits, two, an evil world government, and three, a human political leader, parentheses, the little horn, who will eventually lead this government. We cannot be absolutely sure as to the timing of the final establishment of a global government. It may be 1 year away, it may be 5 years away, and the time I read that, I underscored that 5 years. And I looked at the front of the book, and you wrote this November 2005, which brings us up to 5 years. And that just, just writing that, your prediction, whatever you want to call it, impressed me. And you said, however, we can be sure the spiritual power that's building this government has already come on the scene. The first beast has already ascended out of the bottomless pit, unquote. And I thought you were right on target, because all these years I've never seen the evil spirits come forth in this world like never ever before than in these past 4-5 years. And this 5 year was a living reality to me about how Antichrist spirit has taken over this world. And so I just thought, wow, it is really later than we think. And I just wanted to say, God bless you for warning God's people how not to be deceived. False prophets and false teachers, I've seen so many fall away. They've become a real troop gathered together in this falling way, taking many of God's people the way of destruction. He is here in great power to destroy the truth. And these are such dangerous times. We must hold on to the truth. We must obey the truth. And then God will give us the victory. I enjoyed your message. God bless you so much. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Sister Emma. Appreciate it.
Amen.
Anybody else have anything to share or say or add? No? Well, thanks for coming, y'all. I guess we'll shut her down, right? Keep a watch, keep on guard, and stay separated. Praise the Lord. We'll see you next week. God willing, and the river don't rise.